Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. We're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish will be looking at Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, in a study entitled Holiness and Worship. So grab your Bible and let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
The Ark of the Covenant is moving forward, and he says, you're going this way, you haven't been buying an allegiance and direction, but you have to be led. I believe that's what the Lord's wanting to do in the heart of this congregation. There's been tremendous progress, and I am encouraged by it. And you may, after listening to this message, you may think, I'm not, but I am. There's been great work that God's doing, but all I could say is God has sown this into my heart and won't let it go. It's a burden. And when our church comes to that point where we're doing what God's sown into my heart, then we'll move on to the next topic. I believe God speaks to the pastor of a church. He sows things into the heart to give it out in the Word. There's a lot of areas we could have went through in Joshua chapter 3, but this is the one I believe came down from heaven. It's passionate in my heart. I've been looking forward to preach this message and contemplating and meditating upon it, because I know what's happening in some people's minds. They're at that point where they just don't understand what the Bible says. They don't understand the importance that God places on it. Go to the Psalms, and I will guarantee you that you will not find one command that says just sit there and do what you want and worship. Fold your hands and have a grumpy-looking face. You won't find that in the Bible. You'll find command after command after command that says, lift your hands, lift your voice, lift it with rejoicing, kneel down, bow down, lay before God, worship Him in the beauty of holiness. And there's going to be all these commands. And these commands are not suggestions to you. They're commands on the way that God would tell us to worship Him. And your heart either centers around that truth and says, amen, make me a worshiper of You, Lord. I want to honor Your Word. I don't want to offer some strange fire that just because I'm comfortable with it and I'm sincere. A lot of people say, well, I'm not an emotional person. Everybody's emotional. You're bound up, not able to express those. And I've been there before. It was very hard for me to express anything. But I had to say, God, I want worship the way You want me to. And can God break you out of your shell? So there's no excuses. Other than I won't, and you're in trouble with the Lord. You're saying I won't. I know it's commanded in the Bible, but I won't do that. God help you. I don't know how long you'll last here. God wants to move us forward. We'll be back in the wilderness, back in the desert. Again, there's a difference between I won't and I don't understand. That part of being ignorant, you say, God, teach me. And you'll find, you start reading the Psalms, there's a liberty. The Bible says it's the truth that sets you free. We go back to the Scriptures. But we don't say, I won't do those things. I'm not comfortable with those. I can worship God on my own terms. Those are danger. That's a dangerous mentality to be in. As I was looking through commentaries on the book of Leviticus, I found out there wasn't a lot of them out there, but one that was good was J. Vernon McGee. And he is able to say very profound things in just a simple way. And I'd like to read to you, not in his accent, something that he wrote in commenting on this worship, and he entitled it Will Worship, W-I-L-L, which means it's worship according to my own will, these two brothers that died. I like what he had to say. It says, He is sovereign in all His dealings, and those who come to Him must come on His terms. It is still true today to obey is better than sacrifice. God will not accept worship in our own will, no matter how sincere. You don't set the terms with God. God sets the terms. We find ourselves coming under those terms, under those commands, under those injunctions. And I have found when I do that, my life is blessed. When I don't do that, I suffer the loss and suffer the consequences. And I believe the Lord would want us to go back to the Word and say, what is it? How is it that God is to be worshipped? What has He commanded? And find ourselves worshiping that way. Now, let's go to an example of how worship should take place, how we should respond to the true nature and character of God in Matthew chapter 2. And this is where the wise men travel a long distance. And they come and worship the Lord when He's just a little child. What I'm going to do is look at this portion of Scripture, then I'll read some passages from the book of Revelation that talk about worship in heaven So we get a glimpse of that. But I believe there's some profound points that we could look at here in Matthew chapter 2 and verses 9 through 11. As far as I realize, as far as I know, this is the first, well, it's the first recorded place where the Lord, while He's here on earth, is worshipped. It does say the shepherds came, and it was the angels that were praising God in heaven, and they gave out the report about this baby, but it doesn't describe them bowing down and worshiping the baby there in the manger. Matthew chapter 2, when the wise men show up, they don't show up to the manger. Get that out of your mind. That's not what the Scripture says here. I know that's what you have in your mind as I'm about to read this, but it's a different setting. Look at verse 9. It says, "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was." So it's not the baby any longer. It's the young child, and some estimate up to 2 years of age at this point, because remember, Herod wanted to kill all those babies 2 years and younger, just to make sure he got this king. "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house..." Now, where did they come into? Did they come into the manger scene, or they came into the house? I remember when I first read this, I said, Matthew messed up here. They went in the manger. I've seen it all my life. I mean, that's how much of an impression those little pictures have. And then I wrote, no, that's the house. "And they saw the young child." This is not a word for a baby. So it wasn't the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes at this point. That's really not the point of what we're looking at, but just to clarify that. "And Mary, his mother," and what did they do? "And they fell down and worshipped him." First response that Jesus gets of worship that's recorded for us is people falling down and worshipping him. Think with me, please. I've been meditating on this point for quite some time. Not just this last week for a message, but for quite some time. And there's some profound things that stick out to me. The first response that Jesus, while he's here on earth, the first act of worship is people falling down and then giving him these choice gifts. Something has happened in the church that I believe is backwards. People are uncomfortable when other people in the church bow down in the midst of worship. If any place people should be bowing down, if any place on all of the earth, it should be here in church while we're in the presence of the Lord, while we are worshiping Him, and there should be nothing strange about that. There should be nothing forbidden about that. We got it backwards. What should be taking place is people should be bowing down before the Lord. It's a very common thing, it's a very natural thing, because you're humbling yourself before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if you can't do that, then something's wrong in your heart. Something's wrong in your relationship with the Lord. Maybe it's just because, well, we don't do those things. That's because you want to worship on your terms. Where do you find in the Bible? You find anywhere a command, don't tell people to kneel down, don't tell people to raise their voices. Something is wrong when people are uncomfortable bowing before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in a church setting. Isn't it true that that's probably what the world would even expect or assume, that people would bow and worship and pray before the God that they serve? Even non-Christians realize that people do that to God. And we've allowed it to be an uncommon thing, and that person's out of place. That is entirely backwards. You know what should be happening, what I pray for? What I pray for is those that don't worship, they come in our service, they would be the ones feeling uncomfortable, like, I don't worship like these people. What's wrong with me? I don't seem to be kind of in tune with what's happening. That's what should be happening to unbelievers and those that are just casual about worship, don't want to worship God on their own terms, that they fill out a place, not the people that are expressing that worship to God. See how things are backwards? Can you think through that one with me? You're like, I have to ask, how did we allow that to happen? How did we allow it to happen that bowing down is a strange thing before God? And it should be the most natural thing that we as His children do. And when you read about worship in heaven, people aren't standing up most of the time. It says they're on their faces again. You'll see that through the book of Revelation. And don't say, oh, I'm not into that bowing thing. You're going to look awful funny in heaven when everyone's laid out before God and you're standing there like this. You won't be. Do you think Peter's going to meet you at the gate and say, kneeling section, non-kneeling section? You may say smoking and non-smoking, but it's not going to be kneeling and non-kneeling sections. Are you tracking with me? Can we realize that something's not right? Something's not right when someone's kneeling next to you and you're like, oh, look, they're kind of fanatical, aren't they? The Bible says everything should be done decently and in order. Is it orderly to bow before God? Is it commanded in the Bible? Something we're not thinking biblical. We're not thinking scriptural. And I say, God, help us. If here is a child, he's a young child, he hasn't done anything, he hasn't said anything yet. And these people come and worship him on their faces before God. God, help us. Something's changed. That we're just not tracking with the Bible in the area of worship. That's all I could say. I'm saying let's get back to what God says. What's honoring to God. Second of all, in this text, I would like you to look at the gifts that they gave. It says, when they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, if you had a baby shower and someone came and gave you gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you'd probably be excited, but you'd think, these are kind of strange gifts to offer little childs. And when the shepherds came and all that commotion happened when the babe was there, it says Mary pondered these things in her hearts. But I think there's a great truth here about worship. Think of these men. They're the wise men, and they traveled a long distance. And when they got there, they offered the Lord the best things that they had to offer. That's the way they're worshiping. We're going to give this child the best because he's deserving of it. I mean, that's getting at the heart of worship, that we're going to offer the Lord the best. Now, think with me. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that God inhabits the praises of his people. Now, I shared with you before, that word inhabit literally means to be enthroned upon. What I like to picture worship as I'm singing, as I'm lifting up my voice, my words and my heart and the meditations of my heart, I want them to be acceptable to the Lord, but I want them to be like, you know, materials that God is using to build a